I want to talk today on a subject that is really something that is relative to all of us and the human experience, whether we had the physical disease or not, but it's about leprosy and it's about the touch of the Lord. And there's some old songs that really resonate still in my spirit. One is my favorite, one of my favorites by Bill and Gloria Gaither. It's called He Touched Me. You may remember that old song. And shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, and then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. And we glorify God that He touched me, and the hand of God still touches people today. And you know, the good news today is, you know, we're talking about a leper who came to Jesus, really illegally came to Jesus. He broke the law to come to Jesus. He broke protocol. And he risked himself being stoned to death by doing so because of the revulsion of the disease that he had, that he was an outcast, he was an outsider. Why was he that? Because he was a leper. And he was supposed to live among the lepers and the leper colonies that were separated from the rest of Israel and the rest of normal society. We think about leprosy, and leprosy was a horrible disease, highly contagious. Leprosy, some research I did, leprosy was known in Jesus' day especially as the silent killer. And the organisms that cause leprosy will destroy the nerve endings so that the person does not feel anything. This is why it was not uncommon, sounds really gross, that people who had lepers living in these colonies and the filth that was there because of the rotting, decaying flesh, why rats would eat at the dead flesh while the person slept. And because they couldn't feel anything, they weren't aware that that a rat was eating away at their flesh, their toes or their hands or whatever, the soft tissue around them. Leprosy actually, because of that, was not actually painful, but it was very, very horrible disease to have. It wasn't like an easy, it wasn't easy having this disease, especially back in Jesus' day. Then the lepers in that day were shunned by the people. They were dirty, usually stunk of rotting flesh, were bandaged up with bandages that reeked and smelled and were gross to look at and be around. The disease was easily spread to others, and the Old Testament law required that wherever lepers went, they were to shout if they saw normal people around, unclean, unclean, at the top of their voice so that everyone would know to stay away from them. People would throw stones at lepers so that they would leave the area if they were in the area. Other than another leper, this man had probably not felt the touch of another person for years, the one we're going to be talking about, and certainly not a loving and a caring touch, which is why this story that we're going to share with you today is so amazing. He asked Jesus, this leper did, if he was willing, if you're willing. How many know that Jesus is always willing to touch even the leper? He could cleanse him. He said, if you're willing, you could cleanse me from this disease. And Jesus, looking past the ugliness of his disease, didn't even hesitate. As he said, he was willing, and he reached out to touch him, and that would be the touch that would make this man clean again. He says clean, washed, and his flesh, which was riddled with disease and with oozing sores, was suddenly like a newborn's. Now, can I tell you something as we get into this, the obvious, kind of a spoiler alert, is that Jesus still looks beyond our ugliness, the ugliness of our sin, the ugliness of the type of sin or the vices that we may find ourselves involved with, that others will look at, especially religious people, people of faith, and they'd look at and they would be disgusted and would turn away as if you were an outcast, even a leper. I still remember the story, and I've shared this before, but it still sticks in my mind, is this man who played an organ at a church where we were attending, charismatic church, and I talked to him about how much we loved him and cared about him. He said, nobody would love me if they knew what I was really like. And he felt with great keenness in his spirit and in his mind, his emotions, the shame and the guilt of his past and his sin. And maybe was still snared by that temptation of that sin, maybe still engaged in it, which is something that God can help us with. Somebody say amen. That he can deliver us from our sins, and he can give us victory over the temptations that lead us down the garden pathway of guilt and shame. The thing about this story that is so amazing is that we all were lepers. We all, spiritual lepers, we all either were that leper or we've seen him, because sin affects everybody around us, but it also affects our body adversely. As sin and some of the guilt and shame works its way through our mind, that begins to bring torment to us. Guilt and shame has a response and an effect on the human nature and on the mind and on the emotions. Many times there's depression, and if we're involved in something like pornography, it's a well-known fact, a medical fact, scientific fact, that pornography hardens the heart of the one who is participating in that, engaging in that pornography. Leprosy does all that you can do, that you can die from sin. It does everything else. And just like leprosy, it goes about its work silently and painlessly as it deadens and destroys your conscience. A dead conscience is a very dangerous thing. Somebody say amen. You no longer have a sense of right or wrong, as your conscience has been seared by the effects of the sin in your life. It's interesting that the leper in this case didn't ask Jesus to heal him, but he asked him to make him clean. He wanted to be washed and cleansed. You know, beyond his obvious physical needs of healing in his body, worse than that, and even more so than that, he needed cleansed in his conscience. He needed cleansed from his sins. We don't know, maybe in that day they accused people who had leprosy or came up with some terrible disease, that you had to do some terrible thing for you to be punished that way. And there's still some folks around today, religious people today, who still dump that load and that weight of guilt on people who are suffering from a disease. And can I free you from that? That I don't believe that God inflicts us with terrible things to punish us? Can I tell you something? That Jesus Christ endured and suffered the punishment for our sin. God isn't looking for another Savior. He's not looking for another Lamb of God. He already had a Lamb of God who suffered in our place so that we might be cleansed and might be redeemed. He didn't ask Jesus to heal him, but to make him clean. When we reach out to the Lord and ask him to heal us and cleanse us, just like this leper did, Jesus is willing, and he reaches out and he touches those who come to him. It doesn't matter how repulsive, how terrible your sin is, God will save you, he will forgive you, and he will cleanse you, and he will deliver you from guilt and shame. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's always willing, and he will make us new again, just as if we had never sinned. I'm going to look at three aspects or three different viewpoints of this story taken out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. And there's a report on this from Mark as well in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be touching that as well. But we're going to talk about the relationship of the leper and the crowd, and we already talked a little bit about that. It says that large crowds follow Jesus down the mountainside. Now, the previous chapter in the context, Jesus had just finished the greatest sermon of all time. It preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he was coming off the high mountain from that and from proclaiming that, and large crowds followed him. They were amazed at his teaching. And verse number 2 says that suddenly, and I like that word suddenly in the scriptures because it indicates that things are going along as planned, and then suddenly something happens. And it says that a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him, and he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. You can make me clean. You can wash me. You can cleanse me." And the crowd would certainly not be open to allowing a leper to come in. You know, just like some churches really don't want people from the outside coming in. Many years ago, probably 20 years ago, when I've been here going on 19 years, and I had sent my resume out to different districts, and, you know, I had something very clearly in mind. I believe God had released a manifestational gift of faith in my heart as to the future of our ministry and where we would go. And God had given me a vision, kind of what type of church we were going to. And in response to a question from the secretary, the assistant, next to the superintendent in one of the districts, she said, "Well, you know, the superintendent is out of town. He will ask, what kind of a church are you looking for, Pastor Hawthorne?" And I said, "I'm looking for a church who wants to grow. And she took a little offense at that. She said, Pastor Hawthorne, we believe that all of our churches want to grow. And I said, with no disrespect intended, I don't believe that that is true. There are some churches who really do not want to grow. And that's the sad truth. There's some churches who are a family. They'll say we're a family. And really, there's no room for anyone else to invade that family. And if they do, they have to be there for a good long time. You know, it's kind of like when we were pastoring in North Dakota in that little town. We all the other folks had lived there their whole life, their parents before them, and businesses were run by local people who grew up in the community. And we bought a house on First Street, at the edge of town, and down the street was the farm and implement dealer, and we had this ranch-style house on the corner lot. And we lived there for 5 years and pastored there. And from the time we bought that house until the time we left, it was never the Hawthorne house, it was always the Gelstead house. It was like, but we lived there for 5 years. We owned that house. But it was still the Gelstead house because we were still considered to be outsiders, you know, by the community at large. Not by our church, but by the community. And so that's how some churches are. People aren't welcome, especially if you are having certain problems. And I'm just telling you that this house of worship is open to anybody who is seeking after the presence of God. Anybody who's seeking after God. And I don't care if they're a homosexual. I don't care if they're a lesbian. I don't care if they're a transgender. We're to love people and not condemn people. Now, they're going to hear good preaching and tell them about how God wants to redeem them and to transform their life, which God does. We come to Jesus just as we are, but he loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us in the condition that we came to him in. And that he will redeem us and he will deliver us and he will transform us by the power of the Word and the Spirit and the blood of Christ into the very image of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we can be redeemed, we can be transformed, we can be changed. And that's the good news of the gospel. And there are some religious people who don't want to be around people because they're afraid they might get tainted by their disease. And God help us to be a church that loves people. Amen? That loves people no matter what they're struggling with. We have a lot of ministries here to help people find deliverance and find faith and find deliverance and find freedom from their sin. And that's why we exist, is to make disciples of all nations. But the crowd didn't want to be around lepers. The leper came upon so suddenly that I'm not sure a lot of people noticed, except those right close and probably pulled back in revulsion. Nobody would wanted to come near him. He was to avoid all non-lepers at all times, and they were probably very shocked for the fact that he did not obey protocol and policy and the law of God. Leviticus chapter 13:45 says about the leper and the instructions about lepers, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be torn or rent, and his head shall be shaved bare, and he shall put on a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry out, unclean, unclean, to those around him. And if he was ever cleansed from the leprosy, which really didn't happen, the only recorded in the Old Testament is Naaman, a foreigner, who finally humbled himself, took the advice of Elijah the prophet, and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River and came up clean. But he touched him. And Jesus touched this leper. He came crying unclean. And crying unclean tends to elicit a negative response to the hearer, causing him or her to stay clear of the one issuing the warning. And the attitude and the fear in which lepers were held in Jewish society and other ancient societies, the people in Jesus' time were still practicing the same law that Moses received from 1,400 years before, including the scripture that we have just read. Another position is that lepers were kept apart from the general population. They were compelled to warn others away from long before time of Jesus for a very good reason, because leprosy, as we said earlier, was a highly contagious disease spread by both direct contact with the afflicted person and the indirect contact through items that were touched by the leper, such as clothes or bedding or anything else that there would be a common touch for. The hygienic laws of God gave the Jews regarding leprosy are recorded again in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, and they go into a great deal of detail about this dreaded disease. The crowd, as we said, had just heard the greatest sermon ever preached. But can I tell you that great sermons and great orations concerning the gospel and the word of God are not intended to just inspire and bring a buzz to your religious buzz, but they're intended by the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God to transform our thinking, transform our behavior, transform how we treat others. A great sermon by itself is nothing but a bunch of words unless there's a transformation by the Spirit of God and the Word. In the Bible, leprosy is really a picture of sin and its destructive work over us. And we can see from the outer appearance of the man with leprosy is that he was covered with sores and oozed. And somebody might come in who might be the most handsome person in the world, kind of like myself, or one of the most beautiful ladies. And you'd look at them and you think, boy, they're just so beautiful. They look so pure and they're clean. But on the inside, the part that you can't see might be full of leprosy, full of ugliness, full of oozing sores from the spiritual part of them. And God doesn't look to the outer appearance, but God looks to the heart and he sees deep inside of us. He sees us for who we are. He sees our faults. He sees our sins. He sees our secret shame of things that we have done, that we have participated in. And can I tell you that God is not repulsed by us? He hates what we do, but he loves who we are. And God reaches down, as Jesus did. He wants to touch the leper in your soul, the leper in your spiritual person on the inside of you. He wants to heal you and cleanse you from the inside out so that your outside matches, or the inside matches your outside and works its way out. You know, the Bible says in the leper in relation to Christ that suddenly a man with leprosy approached him. Can I tell you that Jesus was never blindsided by any event that happened to him, any situation he was in? He was never, taken off guard. But he knew because he did and he said what he heard the Father say and do. He looked and he saw this man who came to him and he saw the pitiful request of this man, if you're willing. If you're willing. Think about that, if you're willing. Think about that. When somebody is sick, God, if you're willing. What he was saying in his statement is really a statement of faith, is I know that you are able, but are you willing to do this for me? William Barclay notes three elements in the leper's approach to Christ. First of all, he notes that the leper came with great confidence. He didn't come with a hand behind his back, with his head bowed low. He was humble, but he came with confidence. I believe he looked up into the eyes of Christ. They met eyeball to eyeball when he asked him, if you're willing. He wanted to read Jesus' response on his face before he heard his spoken word, but he came with confidence. He had absolutely perfect confidence in Jesus' power to be able to heal him and to cleanse him. He didn't approach a priest or an Orthodox scribe or a teacher of the law lest he be stoned by religious bigots. He approached Jesus himself, whom he had heard about and maybe stood at a great distance and maybe picked up bits and pieces of his teaching, especially his Sermon on the Mount, since he approaches right after that event took place. He had perfect confidence also in the compassion of Jesus. He had heard and maybe he had seen others who were healed, others who received the blessing of a changed life through the power of the miracle working and the healing power of Christ. And he probably, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years, maybe it doesn't say so, but maybe he said to himself, what he's done for others, he can do for me. And I want to tell you something today, that Jesus Christ, God is no respecter of persons. What he has done for others, he will do for you. You may be here today and you may be struggling with a little bit of your past or maybe a lot of your past. You may have slipped back into some of your old habits and you may become that spiritual leper that we're talking about here today. But Jesus is not repulsed by you. He understands your weakness and he reaches out not only to forgive you when you repent, when you confess your sins, but he reaches out to touch you. You say, but I'm not worthy to be touched. Much like Peter on the night of the Last Supper, the night Jesus was betrayed, he came in, and Jesus, they were talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus gets a towel and girds himself, and he gets a bowl of water, a pitcher of water, and a pan, and he gets on his knees in front of the dirty, filthy feet of the disciples and begins to wash their feet. And Jesus, Peter repulsed, you're not going to wash my feet. And sometimes we feel that way because of our sin or because of our shame. But Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you're not clean. And Peter said, then don't wash just my feet, wash my whole body. How many want Jesus to just wash all of us, all the way through, every part of us? And he's willing to do that. So he came and approached Jesus with great confidence. And I think the greatest thing he came with, the greatest confidence he had, was in his compassion. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He also came with humility. He humbled himself. He didn't come in to Jesus and said, listen, I've been reading up on my rights as a child of God, as a son of Abraham, and you have to heal me because if you're God and I ask, you have to give it to me. He didn't come demanding, but he came with humility and said, if you are willing to show me mercy, to show me the mercy of God. He came and asked if you're willing. Thirdly, he came with reverence. He came with humility and reverence. And he came down, the Bible says that he fell down at his feet and he worshiped Jesus. He called him Lord. He worshiped at his feet. He called him Lord. He called him Master. Just like the thief of the cross did, on the cross did when standing next to Jesus, he called him Lord in Luke chapter 23:42. And the woman taken in adultery in Luke chapter 8:11, he is Lord. He believed that Jesus could do anything, that nothing is impossible for him because he is God. He's like the one who came to him by night and said, you can't do these things unless God is with you. That he knew, as Nicodemus knew, that Jesus could do anything because he was God, because of who he was. We're going to talk about the compassion of Jesus, because Mark chapter 1, verse 41 of this account of this leper says that Jesus was moved with compassion, and Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I'm willing, and he said, be healed. This was Mark's observation of this account. And Jesus, the reason that he touches us, the reason that he heals us, the reason he forgives us, the reason that he touches us is because of his compassion. Jesus identifies with the pain of the dying man, but he also identifies with our pain. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity, the scripture says. He also identifies with this man's suffering of rejection and being an outcast, because Christ himself suffered the ultimate rejection for us that we might experience the ultimate acceptance. Jesus touched the untouchable. Can I ask a question today? Who have you touched recently for Christ? Who do you kind of pull back from or walk the other side of the aisle if you see them down at the local Walmart? Are you willing to touch the untouchables? Are you willing to reach out to people and let them know that God loves them? Are you willing to show and express the compassion of Jesus through how you reach out and how you touch them? Third point here, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as I'm closing. The leper is touched by Christ, and Jesus still touches us. Jesus reached out, just like Mark and his account in Mark. In verse number 3 in Matthew chapter 8, he reached out and he touched him. And he said, I'm willing, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappears. Jesus longs to make people clean. He longs to touch people and redeem their life. None are so defiled that Jesus cannot cleanse them and restore them to perfect health. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11 says this. Paul says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or who are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality, verse number 10, or who are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or people who cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say something remarkable in verse 11. And he says this, some of you were once like that. Some of you used to do these things. Some of you used to participate in these sins. Some of you used to be like that, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the living God. He still cleanses those who call out to him for salvation. Have you experienced the joy of being clean? Have you experienced the joy, even as a child of God, who maybe slipped back into some of your sins, of coming back to Christ and asking Him and confessing your sins, asking Him, Lord, if you're willing, would you touch me again? Would you forgive me for the things that I have done, and repent of it? And you find that the blood of Christ is strong enough, powerful enough, and God's compassion is still deep enough that He will still touch you and He will heal you, because He is the God of your second chance and even your last chance. 1 John 1:7 and 9 tells us that if you're living in the light as God is in the light, then you have fellowship, or we have fellowship with each other. And listen to this, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, like that word A-double-L. Verse number 8, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and are not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Amen. I'm going to close out with this. When the leper came in, I believe everybody scattered with fear when the diseased man came through, but Jesus felt great compassion for the outcast, and He walked straight up to him. With immeasurable love, He touched the man's face with both hands, and the flaky leprosy diseased skin just fell to the ground like shedding of skin of a snake. All the man's shame is dead, and his dead skin crumbled away, and his new skin shined through, and the crowd stood in awe at the amazing miracle that Jesus had just performed. They all knew at that point that their King had come. The Messiah was here. The kingdom of God had arrived. The story tells us to summon an unbreakable compassion that has no borders towards absolutely anyone. No exceptions. Love thy neighbor, Jesus said, as thyself, even as the person that nobody likes or the person that you can't stand the worst. If you can pass this test of loving people that are untouchable, then God will reward you with inner peace beyond measure. See, the true power of healing is through love and compassion. And we remember the story about this story is the leper, more than he needed healing, he needed to feel someone reach out and touch him. And I believe he went his way, remembering even though he's cleansed, his skin was returned to normal, he never, ever, ever forgot. I believe you still tell him the story in heaven today that he touched me. He touched an untouchable, and I was untouchable. And all the redeemed in heaven can relate. We have all been untouchable. And yet, God still reached down and touched us. Jesus told him, go show yourself to the priest. Give the sacrifice that's prescribed in Leviticus. Give praise to God. Give glory to God. Can I tell you, when he says, go show yourself to the priest, that the miracles of Jesus Christ can stand the test of men. They can stand up to the test. So I'm telling you today that whatever your past is, God will touch you. He will heal you. He will cleanse you. He'll give you a new start because he has great compassion. He's chosen to set his love upon you. Would you bow your heads in prayer today? Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, your incredible mercy, your loving kindness that you show to us. And you show to all, Lord God, who love you, all who have called on you for salvation. And you love the despised in our culture. Lord, those who have separated themselves far from you because of the deeds that they have done, even things they have done to their bodies, but God, you still have compassion and you still love them. And you're still willing to touch them and to cleanse them and to transform their lives. And God, you want to use your people who have been redeemed, who have experienced your touch, to be those who will speak up for you, that those who will touch for you, those who will reach out and love those people that are unlovable and unworthy. God, to show your mercy and to show your kindness. Lord, we pray that you would help us and call us and open our eyes and our hearts to see and to feel, Lord, the compassion of Christ and who, Lord, we are to touch. God, I pray even right now that there would be pictures of people in the minds of your people today of someone that they need to reach out to. God, I pray this in Christ's name and for the glory of God and the building of your kingdom, we would obey. And Lord, receive such a blessing of being a part, Lord, of who you are, Lord, and touching people and loving people. And God, we pray this in the powerful and the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said,